Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. You actually make you a part of my life and me a part of yours, and that is such an honor for me. Thank you. You can catch up if you're new on all of my previous episodes on my YouTube channel, and you can also catch up with me every Friday night on YouTube. I drop each episode, the video component, as a live premiere on my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann. The live premiere is a really cool feature because as the video is playing, I am in the chat with you. We're very lucky that sometimes those of us that are in the room together get joined by my guest. Brad Pilon joined when he was on a couple of weeks ago after I had read his book, Eat, Stop, Eat. Got to ask my own personal follow-up questions and share them with you, which was awesome. So you can catch up there. And a lot of exciting news for the summer on my YouTube channel and other things. So today is going to be a solo episode with a lot of very fine detail. I am going to take you on a mystery journey that you cannot tell anyone about because I didn't. We're going to be starting in New York and going to the West Coast and going down the coast to California, back to New York for an amazing 36-hour visit from a girlfriend. And we did every New York City thing. So I'm going to unravel all of this while you just kind of kick back with me. And I'll start by saying the travel secret. So I told you I was going to take you on a mystery trip and nobody was going to know. One of the things I really love to do is do things when nobody knows where I am. As you can imagine, it's fun to kind of just be able to kind of be bopping around and not be announcing where you are all the time. And I remember when Instagram story first happened and Twitter and all social media, every one of us was like, oh, just landed at the airport. So exciting. Airplane emoji. And then you'd have like 10 people waiting for you at baggage claim. We've all learned. Though many of us had to learn the hard way, now my favorite thing is being as sneaky as humanly possible. It's like keeping a secret. It's like planning a surprise party and being able to follow through with not giving away any of the hints. So this is what I do. And I do it, now mind you, there are people that know. Obviously, the people that I'm going to get the pleasure to see know. And I will post about my trips in post tense, but it's just such a freedom feeling. It's when I get to feel like I'm actually just living my own life. When you're a public figure, hosting a podcast, hosting my show on Sirius XM, Raw Comedy, Channel 99, my many years in the industry, just let's face it, when you're searchable on the internet and people know you and want to meet you and want a photo with you, you know that that is present in every step that you take. Anytime you leave your house, anytime you go to the airport, anytime you go to a store, there can be a moment. So there becomes this like thing where you kind of want to bubble wrap yourself once in a while and be able to live your full experience and then talk about it later. And it reminds me of my younger life having pen pals. And also when I moved from Pennsylvania, writing to my friend Peggy regularly. When you are writing letters or you have a pen pal, you're thinking during your trip, oh, I cannot wait to share this in my letter. I'm going to add a photo. When I get my photos printed out, I mail a photo. Like you think about these little details that you're going to share in post tense. And they become so elaborate, especially if you're someone like myself that likes to write, as you add your fine detail when you're writing this story to your friend, right? So that's really what it's like for me to want to travel and just be able to just move in silence, see all of my people, and see if I can get away with it. Sometimes it's really about, can I make it through the whole trip without anybody getting a photo and posting it that I'm somewhere, or somebody asking me for a photo and then me saying, yeah, but can you not post this for 3 days? Nobody knows where I am. And it's fun. And I'd planned this trip on the low because I knew I was going to be seeing some people and doing some podcasts that I wanted to promote in real time when they're coming out, as opposed to talk about it beforehand. I'm also a little superstitious, and if it's a podcast that people really want me to be on or a show that I'm really excited to be on, I'm really afraid to talk about it, and then something happens. You know, somebody can get sick, somebody has to cancel, whatever the reason may be, my flight gets canceled, whatever, so I don't talk about those things. So now we're going to get ready for this journey, and the start of this journey was going to be in Santa Barbara. Last week's episode, I did my monologue and mailbag in the hotel where I was in Los Angeles, which was on like the fourth day of this trip that I had taken. So it was until then where I shot this podcast in the hotel room with horrible sound that anybody would know that I wasn't in my normal space. But by the time that podcast was coming out, I was already flying home. So I had this whole thing going. So the first part of this trip, I was planning on starting in Santa Barbara. I'm there for a couple of days. I'm going to then go to Malibu, there for the day, and then go down to LA and be down there for a couple of days as well. So breaking this trip up in these stops. And the very first stop, being in Santa Barbara, when I was initially looking at the trip, I completely forgot that there's like a super cute, tiny little airport in Santa Barbara. And it's an airport I've never flown into. And for me, that's just a delight. It's just a delight to be at an airport I've never been to because I've flown so much and it's exciting. Like you look around, smaller airports are a little kitschy. They're normally themed to like their city and they like things and they have some history of the city. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. I'm going to go into this airport. I'm going to be getting picked up by a friend of mine. So I'm like, this is great. I'm going to fly into Santa Barbara. And then from Santa Barbara, I plan to drive to Malibu, spend the day there, drive to LA. Then I wouldn't need a car and I would just go to the airport on Wednesday. So I was going to Santa Barbara to see my friend, Brittany De La Mora, and her husband, Richard. They are the founders of Love Always Ministries. And you can look up Love Always Ministries and follow on social media. Also follow their YouTube channel. And I was going to be interviewing with Brittany for her new podcast, which is called Uncensored. I've known Brittany De La Mora for a very long time. Let's say 2005 is I think that was when we said the other day we were looking at when she got into the business, 2005. So that's a pretty long time. And in that time, I watched Brittany just change into so many different layers of life and then become this beautiful human that Brittany is. And there was a moment when Brittany and I were driving in the car and Brittany had said, oh, I wish I would have done this differently then. And I said, Brittany, there is nothing you should wish you did differently because what you're doing right now is the most valuable work. Brittany and her husband, Richard, are helping couples and families in their quest of understanding addiction, whether it would be porn addiction, whether it would be alcohol addiction, drug addiction, and helping people save themselves. And knowing someone that I watched over time start to look more like they were chasing death than life, and then not to hear from that person for a couple years, of course, my thought would be that something horrible had happened. And then Brittany resurfaced in my life, reborn as she is now. And now she just chases the light and she helps everyone else find the light as well. And so when I know I'm going to be seeing Brittany, we know we're not going to post any photos in real time. We know we're not going to post any photos of her family. She has two beautiful children that I got to spend time with. It's absolutely fantastic. But we also know that people are very much at odds with my relationship with Brittany because Brittany to many would seem 100% anti-porn. And that would be what somebody would pick up if they were looking at a situation from afar and listening to the content. And yes, the understanding of the negative impacts are such an important part of Brittany's message. But the connection that I have with Brittany is greater than what somebody else might believe is Brittany's 100% message. For me, I have so much love for anyone that has been able to not only reinvent themselves, but reinvent themselves living in a beautiful community in Santa Barbara with a beautiful husband and two children and family around and friends around and just this life that like could have never, ever, ever imagined would be possible. And to see her makes me really realize how powerful her role is going to be in the near future with so many people getting involved, whether it be on OF or whether it be getting into the industry and then maybe changing their mind, changing course. It's a very permanent thing to change course from. It can be permanent as if somebody was a drug addict and did damage their life or ruined their family relationships or went to jail and ruined their reputation, you know, those types of things. And so I know what's going to come to the surface is the reality of how far Brittany has come, all the work that she has done to be the woman that she is now, and her ability to have access to the conversations of anyone maybe in the industry looking to reinvent themselves. She actually has a link to free therapy where she's able to offer therapy to people who reach out to her. She's got so many great connections. And I couldn't wait to see her for many reasons, because I love seeing her. We were going to have this great conversation and this interview and talk about transitions that I've started to see and information that I've gathered, but also to really just look at where we are right now in this space and what we both can do together to share conversations, contacts. Maybe there's somebody I see at a show that I think would be very beneficial to talk to her. So I couldn't wait to see her. She had just done some really powerful interviews, and one of them was Candace Owen. And I wanted to ask Brittany in person what she felt was going to go down when she did the interview with Candace Owen, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you're sitting face to face with someone. You never know if you're going to slip up and maybe not explain yourself well. But Candace, the way she explained Candace to me was so incredible, that they had this great conversation. And then after it was over, Candace really wanted to get home to her baby, but was so excited that Brittany and Richard had their baby with them. And so she wanted to hold her baby and talk to her and this and that. And so the humanizing backstories you get to know of what happens before or after an interview, but also the fact that Candace was so great with her. And Candace just recently put herself in the spotlight with the Fresh and Fit podcast. If you want to go back down that rabbit hole and listen to that, that's a whole thing as well. And so these are brave people going and putting themselves in the situation where they could possibly be judged and mislabeled and shamed. And they're taking that chance to speak and to be seen and heard and to use their words to have a positive impact on others. So like my relationship with her just gets more and more special every year. And now that I got to spend time with her daughters, and I got to be just around her. So she picks me up at Santa Barbara Airport. And I said to her, like, oh, I'll text you when I'm there and you can just scoop in. She's like, it's a super small airport. I'll be able to sit here and wait. So she's out there when I get there and she's driving me to the hotel. I already checked you in, Lisa. I put snacks and bottled waters in your room. I wanted to make sure when you got here, you had everything you needed. We get to the hotel. I am in this amazing suite on State Street, looking like one block off from the beach. So gorgeous. I could hear the people walking around. I could enjoy all a huge patio. And I had this moment when I was first alone on that patio to think, and it's emotional, it's moving, but this is a relationship that I cultivated and that I continued to help grow. And when I met Brittany and we parted ways and she went with a different agent and things went sour for her and she was using drugs and I couldn't help her. And then when she came back into my life to tell me that all the times I tried to help her came back to her when she was going through rehab and came back to her when she was getting clean. And she wanted to thank me for the effort that I tried to make. And she wanted to let me know that I didn't exactly fail, that I might have failed at that moment, but it wasn't me, it was her. But that the words that I used and the time that I put in. And that's something that in this business we've lacked for a long time. And now I think there's a couple of us who are really standing our ground and making sure that we are present. And that thing is, when something doesn't benefit you and it just is a right thing to do, it's not always what you're doing, it's what you do. Some people would just walk away because they're like, oh, I'm not representing this girl anymore. I'm not going to make money off of her anymore. I'm not her agent anymore. Why do I even care anymore? That is a lot of any business where there's a lot of money made off of people and that kind of a thing. And so with her and I, knowing that not only did I try, and not only did she then make the power move of making the effort to come to see me in 2017 at the premiere for After Porn Ends, she came to tell me face to face what an impact, and she was pregnant at that time with her first child. And she came up and she's pregnant. I'll never forget it because I remember seeing her and I remember friends were with me that were standing there and didn't know the story. And it was such a moving experience that her and I were crying and they started crying. And so I stood on that patio and was so thankful that this little human is alive, is part of my life, loves me, and I love her. I love her family. And the fact that we have never allowed the path that we decided to take, that fork in the road where she is no longer in any way supportive of the industry, which I completely understand because it was not a good experience, was not the same experience for her, but yet never judges or shames me for my continued involvement in doing the things that our lives have taken such a direct left and right, and yet our center is still 100% the same. I love her just like I did when I met her and I knew the good little human that was inside of her. And now as an adult, I get to see her. It's almost like a proud parent moment where you get to see the after effect of all of these things and like, wow, it really turned out even better than I could have imagined. And by the time, I'm out on the patio and I'm like, this is beautiful. And we're going to get together for dinner. And then the next day we're going to shoot the podcast. And by the time we got back together, and I just thought to myself, this is such a beautiful friendship. We're going to have this friendship forever. We have this common ground. We have this time that was so pivotal in her life that could have gone either ways. And we celebrate the fact that here we are now. So I know that Love Always Ministries could be a help to a lot of people who are struggling with addiction, who are struggling. They actually have a program that they work with that monitors how many hours a day somebody may be watching content to help people wean off, because this is how addicting this can be for people. It becomes very isolating. It is not what it is used for. It is supposed to be entertainment, like a movie that you watch once a week, right? So Love Always Ministries, the new interview will be out shortly. We had a beautiful conversation and really talked about what I'm seeing, how I've seen things change. And the topic that brought us together for this was what I think is the biggest mental health pressure on the business right now that is causing such a great deal of loss. We've had quite a bit of loss in the past 6 months. And I think a lot of that has to do with these platforms are 24/7, 7 days a week. And I think there's this theory that somebody needs to be on and creating content all the time and answering messages all the time. And because you're dealing globally with people in different countries that are awake at different time, they might be getting mad at you that you didn't respond. And I think this pressure is no longer allowing an entertainer to do what I told you I love to do, which is bubble wrap myself and just be living my own experience at that moment. So that was really the topic that we got together on, was having this open conversation. How could it be better? But then we went on so many different things. We talked from shame to all of the transitional things that one may go through when they decide to change their career, especially after this industry. We had a great conversation. So I'll make sure I share it with you, but you can subscribe to the YouTube channel to support. You can also search Brittany De La Mora on my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann, because I had a beautiful conversation for the Lisa Ann Experience right here, where we told that story. And really, Brittany was very honest about what was the pivotal moment where it was almost life or death and what point made her change her entire life. And I'm going to tell you, like, her life is beautiful. I'm so happy for her. So to feel the joy that I experienced getting in Friday, doing the interview Saturday, going out to lunch with the kids Saturday afternoon, going out to dinner, just me and Brittany alone on Saturday night, went to a little wine bar and had some small plates and just talked about life and just like talked like girlfriends that we haven't gotten to do, developing that part of our relationship. Our relationship had been such a like agent talent and then this new worlds of our lives. And now it's like, okay, now we're just girlfriends. We're catching up on family and friends and things. So we had a great night. And then Sunday morning, we went out for a walk at the beach. And I had remembered that on Sundays in Santa Barbara, there's a beach festival where they have all crafts, arts, chocolates, all kinds of great things that are handmade from locals. So we walked that. We had the girls, went to the little play park. And then I got on my way and headed down to Malibu to go to the Randall Ranch. I had to visit Suze and Holly. There's absolutely no way. Like, there's a law of force field of some sort, but there's no way I could go from Santa Barbara to Los Angeles and drive by them and not stop. So I know I'm going to go see, and they were prepared for it. Holly and I had made plans, and now I'm getting in the car in Santa Barbara. I had put a list of people in my phone that I needed to correspond with, and I was going to handle some emails in the back of the Uber. That was the reason I didn't rent a car, because I was like, you'll get some work done for an hour and you'll just, you know, ride out to Malibu and then you'll get it from there. But I had been told that California had like 45 inches of rain in like the last, I don't know, 16 to 18 months. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that, until we got on the freeway from Malibu to, from Santa Barbara to Malibu. I had never seen California so green and lush and the wildflowers. And I just started to look around. And I recapped this a little bit on last week's episode, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but it reminded me of the late 90s when the Spearmint Rhino chain of clubs opened locations all over California, from Santa Rosa to Santa Maria to Santa Barbara to Oxnard to City of Industry to Rialto. And you would drive. Those were driving gigs. So I learned my way around so much, like the one in Oxnard. I know there were those outlets in Camarillo. And then I'd go to the movie theater in the afternoon. I knew in Santa Barbara I was going to go to the beach. I was going to get a bowl of clam chowder on the pier. And it has been years since I've done those clubs. I haven't done those clubs since, I don't know, maybe before the 2000s, maybe 2003, 2004 might have been my last Spearmint Rhino. And so I couldn't believe that I was like driving. I'm like, if I'm right, looking over to the right, there's that strawberry fields over there. There's usually a bunch of people selling their most beautiful fresh strawberries. And there they were. And then a little bit further, oh, there's the gas station. There's that sandwich shop right there. I've stopped there a couple of times. Like, there they were. And I had this moment where I was like, you know what? You can work in your hotel tonight while you watch the NBA games. Let's look out the window and do some really good thinking. Let's sit in gratitude for a moment that you've been to so many states and so many places, and you can still remember where you are and what's around, and you're excited to see it. And it just kind of took me through this journey in my mind of the years that I lived in Pennsylvania, that I watched 90210 on TV, and that I wanted to move to California so badly. The thoughts of living in California, and when I first moved there, all the road trips I solo took, driving up the coast to San Francisco, going to Monterey, like I wanted to see the whole state. And I realized like the Dora Explorer in me has always been alive and very, very well. I've never seen the wildflowers like that. And it was just so beautiful and enjoyable. I absolutely loved it. And then I get to the ranch. Holly's got this charcuterie tray out for us. She's got water. She's got everything we need. Sue's. I get to see Holly's little one, her husband. Like, it was just, we sat there and we talked for hours, caught up with Sue's. Sue's book did really well. All of this goodness, had a great time. And Holly, you know, Sue's and I shot all through the 90s. Then when I started my own production company, I would hire Holly, and I loved being on set with Holly. As a performer, a female performer, I just knew how much more comfortable everybody was on set by having a female behind the camera. As simple as that, it just made for a different environment. It made everybody more comfortable. It added a little touch of color and beauty. And, you know, Holly was the one person that I worked with that was so detailed that, like, when I wanted to do this little bikini setup, she's like, hey, would you want to spend a little bit and get some rental? I can get some surfboards and we can put them in the back and they're going to look really pretty. Like those little feminine touches, when I go back and look through those photos as I'm relighting them for my library on OF at lisaandfans.com, I go back and I'm like, oh, that's right. Holly went and got all those tchotchkes so that this scene could be so extra beautiful, and those little details. And so I feel like I just have a long-term family relationship with the Randalls, and then a kind of sisterhood with Holly. And again, another friend that I've known through the industry my whole life. But now when we get together, we also visit as friends, girlfriends, catching up, talking life, all of the different things that we're all going through or dealing with or what's changing. And we get to just share them. So I had a great time with Holly. I knew I was going to get in the car and on the way to listen to one of the playoff games and then settle into my hotel on Sunset Boulevard in LA. I wanted to stay right on Sunset because it's so centrally located. I can get to all the different podcast studios and I can do everything that I want to do from right there very easily, mitigating as much traffic risk as possible. So Holly and I at the ranch right here in this photo. We had a great time visiting and catching up. I love you, Holly. I love the Randalls. Holly has a great podcast as well. You definitely want to go and check that out. So check out Holly Randall's podcast. I didn't do an interview with her this time. We're going to do it in the future, but for now, we just wanted to have a nice personal visit. When I got to LA, I had things scheduled, and one of them was The Minimalists. You know what a fan I am of The Minimalists. If you're not following, you can listen to their podcast. You can go to their social media at The Minimalists. You can also watch their documentaries on Netflix, read their books, Love People, Use Things, The Opposite Never Works, Everything That Remains, the book that is just The Minimalist. But they've become minimalists and they're no longer doing social media. They decided to take a pause in December and see how it felt. And they're actually loving the freedom that it brought into their lives. And as minimalists, it's one less activity and thing that they're adding to. They've always taken pride in making sure that they don't have ads or commercials in their podcast. I think it's great because they want to be able to listen without feeling sold to anything. Like, I love everything that they're about. And most importantly, when I was going through a really tough time, 2015, 2016, and during that time, you can read about in my second book, The Life Back, which you can get on Amazon or you can get on my store at shoplisaann.com. During that time, I watched a lot of television because I was like, you know, I don't want to go out and be destructive. I don't really want to be around people. If you're just parked in your place watching TV, what's the worst that can happen? But the rule of thumb was had to watch some educational television. So I watched a lot of documentaries. And the one documentary that got me to stop watching documentaries and get my ass off of the couch and do shit was The Minimalists. Because I learned from that documentary how much I had complicated my life by having such a big place for one person, so much stuff, how I was just a consumer, how I just became a consumer, how I didn't even know what I had. And over the course of the next year, I spent taking every single thing in my home and touching it. Every closet, one by one, taking everything out, three piles. What am I getting rid of? What am I donating? You know, what am I keeping? I took the time. And when you touch things and you let go of things, it's a very emotional experience because you're also letting go of who you were when you made that purchase, when you made that decision. You're shedding layers of yourself. And what I didn't realize by that action was how it would unfold later on in my life. And so that's why I go back. And when I'm in LA and our schedules sync, I always make sure I go on their podcast. I reach out to them every time I'm coming in, and they do a lot of on the road tours, live shows. So it synced this time, and I was so happy to see them. Because what I've realized now is how adapting to minimalism is one step. But living in minimalism is a whole different experience. The layers of benefits that land that you don't expect. First of all, you have a lot more money because you stop buying shit. And when you stop buying shit, then when you do buy something, you appreciate it more. You take better care of it. You actually think before you buy another something. When I do shop, I know I have to get rid of things. And one of the things I wanted to share with them was something that I recently started doing, which was rental clothing. I started using Nuuly. This is not an ad. I'm not sponsored by Nuuly. A girlfriend of mine in St. Louis, when we were in Jamaica, she had all these great sundresses. And I said to her, Madison, every day a different beautiful sundress. I'm like, she goes, I rent. It's 6 items a month for $98. I rent. It's amazing. I love the clothes. And I was like, for me, going to events and shooting promo photos and doing all this, let me try it. And so I am now 4 months in on my rental, clothing rental life. And I will say it has broken even more bad habits because I still would shop online and I still would go shopping. But now I just shop on Nuuly and there's a little hanger. So you click the hanger and it builds this little closet for you. So that when you make your next return and you're ready to make your next 6 that you want, then you go through your closet. What season is it? What do I like? And what I've been using it for is like coats. You know, you'll see like I had a brown coat that was really brown, like a crocodile looking, snakeskin looking coat last month. I had a blue coat. I had this big tan coat. I had all of those layers of fluffy, colorful, furry coats for my photo shoots, for my wine content shoots that Kay and I did here in the city. And you rent it. You have it for 4 weeks, you know, for the month. Then you pack it back up. It comes in this zip around case. And this was just something I wanted to try because I wanted to see what it would show me. Now, you can buy things after you rent them, and they're a pretty good price to buy it. So it's a cool way for somebody to try on new brands, see if something fits them, see if they like the cut. I'd say if somebody's dieting or losing weight, I would be renting because you're kind of in between sizes all the time, right? So it's been awesome. I'm using it for coats. I'm using it for accessory blazers. I'm using it for fun things. And I really wanted to share that with them because I wasn't sure if their listeners were into rental clothing. My rule of thumb with rental clothing is anything that's trendy, I would rather rent than buy. And I think that's a great way to look at it because trendy stuff sits in your closet. You can't get rid of it. You can't wear it again. You don't wear it again. It was too trendy. So trendy, fun, colorful. I own a lot of black. So when I go on to Nuuly, I try not to rent anything that's black. I'm like, get yourself some color, bring some color in your wardrobe. So I wanted to share that with them. I also wanted to just reconnect with them, thank them again in person because adapting to the lifestyle of a minimalist has saved me money, opened up the door for more travel and more experience, made my life easier because I'm not managing as many closets and as much clothes. I'm not always having to clean my closet. Like all of the things that you don't realize are going to happen. First, you just get rid of stuff and your house feels organized. Your life feels organized. You feel on top of your things. Like, oh, this feels great. Yeah, give it 5 years. And then settle into your 10th year of minimalism and realize how good you feel, how much lighter your life is, how much heavier your bank account is, how much more you've been able to save, and how much more you've been able to prioritize what you spend your money on being experiences instead of things. So the minimalists right here, I was in studio. They have a brand new studio. It was great to visit them. So your photo right there, and I will let you know when that episode is coming out. Again, they keep the secret as well. Remember, all these people knew I was coming on this trip, except you. And they told no one because they knew I just wanted to roll through. I visited some other friends and I got one beautiful afternoon where the sky broke. Because it's getting some weird June gloom in California early. It's not June, it's April. But June gloom is a haze from the ocean that comes over and it usually breaks halfway through the day. The nice thing about it is that cloud covering keeps it cooler in the morning because once it breaks, it's super hot. I'd been waiting the first day, it didn't break. But the second day was my day that was my best day to do it. And so there I am, day two, break opens. I go to the rooftop pool at the hotel and there was no one there. I was there alone. So I took my book. I finished it. Great book, Stephen King on writing. It was just what I needed to read before I started writing again. I have it right here. I have to send a shout out to Miss Lainey, my friend Lainey Spicer, who's been here on the podcast. Lainey and I secretly send each other books in the mail all the time. We never tell each other they're coming. And so, you know, I don't get mail where I live. So I get my mail at my P.O. box. When I go to my P.O. box, I get things like, oh, there's always a book from Lainey. And I try to do the same. We never talk about it till we start reading them. I finished it with this beautiful pool day right here. Just got to kick back and I got a lot more of a tan than I expected because it was breezy, which made me feel cool and not hot. And of course I didn't use sunscreen, but a little bit of red the next day, but turned into beautiful tan. I'm tan right now. The book is done. I feel great about it. Now I'm coming on my last day. And while I was at Exotica, I linked a couple of good things. You know, I connect with Alexis Texas whenever I'm at the shows. And again, let me reiterate the fact of how important it is for these shows and all of us to be present as a part of the community that we're in. Because I got to see Alexis and I'm like, hey, Alexis, here's my schedule. I'm going to be in LA for 4 days. Here are the days, updates, and times I'm not available. What we decided to do was my flight was until 3:30 on Wednesday. I said, hey, I'll hold that morning for you. I could come to you because I knew Alexis would be recording downtown LA. So I would go from Hollywood to downtown LA halfway to the airport with my suitcases, which I did. And I would meet Alexis, do the interview, change for my travel day, which I did, and then go directly to the airport. The fact that we finally got to lock that in, we'd been talking about me being a guest on Alexis Texas podcast for so long, but we just never been able to sync it. And she doesn't record remotely like I do. She likes to record in person. And it was a great conversation. I'm super excited about the new chapter that's getting ready to unfold for Alexis, which I will allow her to tell her story, but I will also remind you when that episode is coming out. Last day of my West Coast trip, and I am getting in something really important today, my first visit on Alexis Texas podcast. So excited that I was able to fit this in. You see my bags right there, because this was woven in perfectly right before I make my airport trip. So this West Coast trip was amazing. I'm going to recap all of it on a solo episode of my podcast next week. See you then. Alexis, another one of the stars that I met when she first got in the business. So many of these women I've known since they were 18, 19, 20 years old. And to watch them develop and to watch their lives change and to watch them grow, again, that parental feeling of being like, we're not that much different, but I've seen such a change in everyone and we're all just growing. And it's fun to watch, especially my friends that are doing the work. And Alexis is one that's always educating herself. Alexis has an incredible team that she travels with. It's been the same for years. And I always look at that consistency, like you got to be good to work with if people want to work with you for 15 years. Like that is her same crew. And just a great content crew. Like everything that she puts together and does is amazing. So I got to spend some time with Alexis Texas and do that podcast and then get to the airport. And I was like, get to the airport. I go through security and I realize, whoa, I made it. I was bubble wrapped the entire trip. Not one person did a Lisa Ann thing. I was just me going in and out of being Lisa Ann for conversations, right? But then I was with my book. I watched all the NBA games while I was there. I connected with friends. And I just had a really good recharge trip. I take these trips for reasons of thinking as well. And so I had put out about 3 hours a day each day on this trip for me to outline how I wanted things to look for this summer, what I wanted the visibility of all of the work that I'm doing to be, and how I kind of wanted to streamline things down, because I'm assuming we're all going to have a little bit more outdoor time this summer and we're all going to be doing things that are fun. And I'm assuming that streamlining thing down would allow everyone else to go do their thing, me to do my thing. So here's what we're going to be doing. The one thing that is not going to change is Friday nights at 8 p.m. on my YouTube channel. So the first thing you need to do if you're not a subscriber is subscribe to my YouTube channel. So take that note, 8 p.m. Eastern time every Friday. And by the way, I've worked it out. Now, sometimes when I'm at the booth at Exotica, I can't be on, but you guys manage it for me. The reason I made that the beginning to this is because when I sat and thought about all the things that I love to do, yes, I love doing the podcast. And yes, I love the interactions that I get on social media from the podcast. But I absolutely love the Friday 8 p.m. YouTube live premiere because we sit in the chat and I'm watching the podcast with you. So if there's a question or something in the beginning of the podcast, when I'm going through my monologue, we catch up and I know who's going to be in the room and I look forward to seeing it. It's a small group and I'd like it to get bigger, but I also like it to be somewhat of an exclusive club with nobody creeping or doing weird things. So I wanted to protect that. So I'm going to add an element to that, a layer to that for those people that have been there for me this entire time, that we enjoy the banter that we have talking and doing all the things that we get to do during that live premiere. Every other Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, still going to be the same live premiere. Starting this week, you're getting this podcast, regular Wednesday release. Friday, we watch it together on a YouTube live premiere at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But next Friday, my entire podcast is live. So what I'm going to be doing is setting up your thumbnails where if you're a subscriber, you're going to see when that live is going to be. And during the week next week, I'm going to be putting some polls out for some topics. I'm going to make this an interactive summer, kind of like I did during the pandemic when I did the 30 questions in 30 days, where we just put things out. We all talked about them. I realized I want this podcast over the summer to be like our summer vacation together. And every other Friday night, we're not only in my YouTube channel, but I'm live and I'm able to answer you live. And we're going to have segments and topics that we all talked about during the week. Maybe a random news story will pop in and we'll share those, and then those will stay on my YouTube channel as the YouTube live. So you see the different playlists, you know how this all works. So what will be different is every other Wednesday, you won't be getting a new episode of The Lisa Ann Experience. And that's starting next week, Wednesday, May 8th. But what you will be getting is the new episode of Lisa Ann's Backstage Convos. So this is going to give us an every other week vibe. Every other Wednesday, you get the Lisa Ann Experience, and then every other Wednesday, you get my conversations that I have for Sapphire. I thought this would be a fun way to really spice things up over the summer and also not have you have to do so much searching for all the different conversations that I have. So we have this same thing the same. So the week that you get Lisa Ann's Backstage Convos on Wednesdays will be the week that we do our live podcast together on Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I'll be bringing in a little conversation from that because I'm hoping you will have listened. The first episode that you're going to get to hear next Wednesday, May 8th, is going to be with Tori Black. And I haven't seen Tori Black in years. And during the pandemic, Tori Black moved her family to Hawaii, and they've never been happier. And hearing her tell the story on what made her move her family is going to blow your mind. It's such a beautiful story. And another woman that I met, she first got into the industry, and now she's living her best life. And I get to be a part of it by seeing her once a year when she does her one feature booking a year. Every year at Sapphire here in the city, Sapphire 60. So again, the new protocol is going to be every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Nothing changes. We're on YouTube together. It's just every other week, it's going to be either a live podcast or the live premiere of the podcast. We're going to start it with May. And I want to do this as just a more interactive summer, get to know everybody on my channel more. I think Friday nights are a fun time for like my demo because we don't want to be out. Everybody else is out on a Friday night. That's when we're home. So we're going to be home together on our Friday nights at 8 p.m. This is going to go on for the summer. And this is going to be Backstage Convos, Lisa Ann Experience. That's your podcast world that we live in. And then if you're a SiriusXM user, you've got me on Raw Comedy Channel 99 with my co-host Brett Raybould. Every Friday is when our new episodes drop. The new episodes drop on Channel 99, 10 a.m., 5 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern time every Friday. So you have the app. You can listen anytime. You can go in. You can listen anytime on the SiriusXM app. Just search Better Habs. This week's guest, my girlfriend, Nicolicious, who we've had here, Nicole Adamo. You've seen her here as well. So like my whole people all mixing together. This is going to streamline down everything I have going on. Allow me a little bit more freedom and flexibility to grow some other projects that I'm working on this summer, work on some more writing, work on things that I'm doing, and give us a little bit more freedom to be out and about. And also, I wanted to find a way to bring you into my podcast. And this is the best way to do it. And every other week, Lisa Ann Experience Live, which is going to be a live episode of my podcast. And I'm going to produce it. I'm going to have our little segments. I'm going to have my little time clock. I'm going to make this like a real show. Trust me, I got us. This is going to be the most fun we have all summer. Well, you're going to have a lot more fun. I'm absolutely sure of it. So that I wanted to go through. Between then, which is LA, me filling you in on what's going on with Lisa Ann's Backstage Convos, which will be every other Wednesday, with Lisa Ann Experience on all listening platforms every other Wednesday, but every Friday night you can join me at 8 p.m. Eastern time on my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann. I get back from LA, and while I'm coming back from LA, there was a very interesting news story, and by the way, Britney did talk about it with her social media as well, and this is Kanye. Okay, Kanye, also known as Yee. We now know Yeezy porn. This is going to be a thing. Kanye is in the news for something other than what his wife is wearing on their way to the Cheesecake Factory. Kanye is now in the news because he has intersected with Mike Moss and Vixen. Mike Moss, very established in the industry. This is a great contact, Yee. Good job there. Good pull. But I want to know if you really know what you're going to be doing when it comes to somebody negotiating the right amount of money. Because there is no one in this industry, in the history of the adult industry, way before Yeezy porn was even considered, the most money ever made and ever signed for in a movie, because there is no such thing by law as a leaked sex tape, you gotta go for the momager to be negotiating. You're old, that's right, you know what I'm saying right there. Your mother-in-law, you're no longer, but your mother-in-law is the best negotiator the adult industry has ever seen. Getting Ray J and Kim K the best deal known. That's signing the fact that that movie has already made over $100 million and that they've already overmade over $50 million each. For those of you who don't know the law, it is illegal to leak a sex tape. And there was documentation. There were IDs presented. There were things signed and there were checks given. It's just that Kim K took his up front, hers up front. You can just clean that up. Kim K took hers up front. Ray J, he took the long-term deal, which is a very funny thread on Reddit if you ever want to read it. So Kanye, the message that I have for you right here is to make sure you go for the right person to negotiate your deals for you. And that would be the momager herself, Kris K. That is my own thought there on the Kanye situation. Another wild story, another, okay, this is crazy. What is happening? But let's remember, the very first agent that was well-known in the adult industry was Jim South. Jim South had his group of male talent, Peter North, Nick East, Randy West. So of course, you know, when Northwest was born, I was like, oh my gosh, Jim South, Northwest. So then the Northwest thing, the connection with it, and now the business, and now Yeezy Point, this is happening. Like, who knows what's next? It's very complex. It's all happening. But that was between the airport and getting back into the city. And then when I got back into the city, from my trip to California, I had a full day at Sapphire doing a bunch of interviews. Tori Black is going to be May 8th. You're going to love this conversation. Then I hosted the NFL draft at Sapphire. Great night there. Had a birthday party. Like, it's been a crazy busy week. But on Sunday afternoon, something else that happened at Exotica. When I was at Exotica, I saw Kiki Clout, who I adore. She's like a little sister to me. And Kiki was like, hey, I have a booking in New Jersey this coming weekend. This weekend, she gave me the dates. I haven't booked a return flight home yet. Are you around? We can hang for the day. I'm like, oh, why don't you come in on Sunday? She's leave on Tuesday. We'll have all afternoon, Sunday afternoon, all day Monday. We'll do the most things. And then we can both go about our lives. Another great thing, the fact that I'm connecting and making new friends in the industry is just so awesome. And now there is some hammering upstairs. Tons of construction. Sorry about this. Anyone hearing weird sounds, there's construction, there's hammering, but I'm almost done. So we're good. So Kiki got here Sunday afternoon and we just kept that Sunday light because Kiki had a late night. The bookings are always so tired. Let's do a nice walk in the park. And we'll have a full day on Monday. And when I tell you a full day, we got it all in. We started the day. And by the way, as I was watching Kiki's date that Kiki was going to be here, I realized that it was going to be the first nicest day so far of 2024. Like the most perfect weather we have had yet in 2024. So I immediately was like, so happy that I'm going to take the day off. We're going to be outside all day. We're going to do so many things. So on Sunday when we were taking our walk, I said, let's plan the things that you would really like to do. Of course, Kiki has never been really deep in Central Park, and a lot of people haven't, especially if you haven't been on a city bike or had a bike. So we decided that Monday morning, the first thing we would do is get up and go for a bike ride in Central Park. Kiki had remembered me talking about the library and asked if I would take her to the library and take her on a kind of walk-through historical tour through the library. I was like, yes, I love going to library. So we decided after the park, we'd come back, get changed. We'd go to Bryant Park for lunch, one of my favorite places in the city. The green, the lawn is so beautiful. Everything's amazing. And then from there, we walked all through the library. Another thing that Kiki mentioned to me on Sunday was Kiki had never been to a Broadway show, a musical, a nothing. And I said, well, Kiki, there's a new show that just opened, The Great Gatsby. Are you interested? And Kiki was like, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite movies. Okay, let's see if we can get tickets. You know, it's been a week, but it's a Monday. It might not be that busy. We end up getting tickets. They weren't that bad of a price. So Sunday night, we go to bed knowing we're doing all this stuff on Monday. Monday, we get up. Amazing day. Bike riding. One of my favorite things to do on my day off.
My favorite thing is day off in the park.
We go to the park. We wander through the library. We come back and get changed. Walk over to Broadway and sit down. The theater where The Great Gatsby is performing has been completely redone. So it's my first time ever walking into like a brand new theater in New York City where all the seats are new and it's just all Great Gatsby, everything. It's so beautiful. The show was incredible. And as soon as we got our playbill and I was taking our picture, you know, where you take your picture with the playbill and then the stage is behind you, Kiki noticed everybody else doing it. And I also think Kiki noticed how fascinating it is, how mindful everyone is at a Broadway show in New York City. Nobody's on their phone. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. People are just so into it. They clap after each act. It's something to see. And I realized last night while we were sitting there that I was fortunate to be raised outside of the city and come in for shows. But if you weren't exposed to that as a child, then you don't really know what that entire environment is like. And just watching Kiki have such a great time at the show made me incredibly happy. We were leaving. I was like, well, if you're out in Broadway in New York City at night, you must walk and get a piece of pizza. We walked, got a piece of pizza, had carried on, sat next to some women that were visiting from Germany, had a lovely conversation with them, and then walked back and got ready. And Kiki was on her way to the airport at 3:30 a.m. this morning. And we had an awesome time. Another reason why I wanted to really streamline things down is to be more present this summer, not just with my work, but for my people, for my friends, and for the gratitude that I have such a rich group of people around me. So before I get to the mailbag, one more reminder that you are now, nothing changes every Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube. I will be there, whether it's live every other week or whether it's the live premiere. I'll either be in the chat or in your face, one or the other, but it's going to be a ton of fun. I'm going to pull you in. We're going to do live mailbag questions. We're going to do live segments. All of that stuff is going to be great. And subscribe to the YouTube channel for Backstage Combos so you can either catch up on those episodes or at least get the notifications when those episodes are coming on. And also you can follow on all social media at Backstage Combos as well. What a mouthful. I did it. We got through it. I had so much to tell you. This was like the best phone call ever. I feel like I just called you and just told you about my life. And that's kind of the greatest thing about, again, the bubble wrap is when you're not tweeting things in real time, you're not posting things on Facebook, you're not putting things on Instagram, you just let them sit in your phone. And then you go back and you relive the trip to have this conversation. It has something different. I feel like when you post it, it's then posted and it's out of your mind. But I feel like when you haven't shared it, it's just still in your heart and in your phone. And it's been special to share this photo journey with you that you're going to see. Now, if you're listening, when you're with me Friday night at 8 p.m., there's going to be a lot of different photo and video components inside this episode. I'm making it very special. I put a little extra time in this morning to labeling all the photos for Kay, to organizing all the videos. We can add some different things in so you can see what this experience is like with another layer, because now I'm going to have a little bit more time to be more creative with each episode as I only do one every other week for the summer. It's time, the moment you've all been waiting for, the mailbag. If you want to be a part of the mailbag, you can just write to me at asklisaann@gmail.com. Again, if you want to be a part of the mailbag, it is asklisaann@gmail.com. Had some really good questions, which is going to be awesome because now I'm going to add something else. If you would like to send a topic for a live show into the mailbag, I will do the research on that topic and I will be sure to bring it every other week when we're live for a Lisa Ann Experience live episode. So feel free, asklisaann@gmail.com. Before you get these, ask me a segment idea. I love that so much. All right. First question here really got me because in the subject matter, it said habits. Hello, Lisa Ann, longtime listener, first time emailer. We all know about your dedication to fitness and your work ethic. My question is, what are your worst habits? We all have them. How about your top three worst habits? This should be interesting to all. Thanks, Nick from Long Island. Okay, this is easy. My number one worst habit, I mean, I'm sure there's worse, and I'm sure if I ask other people around me, they would be like Kay's traveled with me. I'm sure Kay has bad habits. But I would say my first bad habit that has irritated other people in my life is I'm not very good at putting lids back on. Peanut butter jar in the fridge, just lids. I have a horrible thing with lids, and it always blows up in my face because, like, you know, powder in your makeup thing, anything that you don't put on properly in your makeup thing just comes out all over. Food doesn't stay well, so not putting lids on. I have a guilty pleasure of taking showers that are way too long, and I feel really bad about how much water I'm wasting and how much time I'm wasting in the shower. But I can take really long showers. At night before I go to bed, I'll sprinkle eucalyptus oil all over the bottom of my shower floor. Hot water run on it for a minute. I get in there. I could literally be in there for an hour, which is not good, and that is a bad habit. My third bad habit is when I'm on the road. I don't know what it is about my lifestyle on the road versus my lifestyle at home. At home, I'm a fairly organized person. Yes, my house can look like a tornado hit on a day where I've got up and put on my makeup, had to shoot a couple cameos, had to do a podcast. Like, all my rooms are being used in my apartment. But I will, while I'm listening to McAfee later in the day, I will pack it all back up and put away. For some reason, in a hotel room, I get in there, I open everything, I put everything around. Within an hour, I leave to go get something to eat. I come back, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's just stuff everywhere and it is chaos. I don't know why. I will just say I think I'm a slob on the road. I don't know what it is about a hotel room that is so different than at home. I don't know. But those are my three that came to me really quickly. I'm sure once I think this through, I'll come up with more. And that's where the live premiere chat will come in on Friday. I will add them into the chat. We got one here that says New Jersey Exotica. Hey, Lisa, I appreciate you reading my previous email about the Mets and fantasy baseball. It was great to hear your perspective. I have a question related to Exotica. I've never been to an Exotica, New Jersey, and I've always wanted to go. What kind of advice and fan etiquette tips could you give to a first timer? I'm looking forward to hopefully going soon. I would love to meet you. Sincerely, Amon. Well, the first bit of advice I'm going to give you is to wear comfortable shoes. That's probably not what you expected, but these are convention centers where sometimes they lay carpet on the concrete and sometimes they don't. And they're bigger than you would think, and you're going to want to walk around for a really long period of time. So wear comfortable shoes. They will give you a bag when you go in, but I notice a lot of guys will carry like a backpack or a rolly bag if they're going to purchase a bunch of stuff so they don't have to carry it around with them. I would say walk the whole show before you stop and talk to anyone. Walk the whole show, get a lay of the land. Where's there's booths? Where are people you want to go see? Where are people you want to buy? Where's the food? Where's the bathrooms? Get your lay of the land and then settle in because you could be there for hours on hours on hours. Your kind of advice I covered, your fan etiquette tips, I believe that you don't really need them because you already have manners. You wrote, I appreciate you reading my previous email to you. It's really nice to hear your perspective. You already have manners. You're already a great greeter. You're going to be one of those people that we're super happy to see that we want to ask you, like, where are you from? Is this your first Exotica? Are you enjoying it? Are you buying anything? Like, fun stuff like that. So just be yourself and enjoy the people watching. It is the best people watching. Oh, make sure also bring a backup battery for your phone. I always feel bad for guys who are like wanting to take photos and one or two things happens. One, their phone is too dead to take photos, or two, their phone is too full to store any more photos. Then they got to delete other photos. So like, don't do those things. But Amon, you're going to have a great time and I can't wait to meet you there. We've got one more right here and it's my favorite email of this week. Subject matter said, positive. You always have a smile. It's really amazing. What is the mindset you keep? I'll read it again. You always have a smile. It's really amazing. What is the mindset you keep? I just love this. It's from Justin Butterworth. I just loved this email because it's a great question. And the answer is very simple. The mindset that I keep is gratitude. It's so easy for us to think about the things we don't have instead of the things we do have. It's so easy to think about where we want to go, but not where we came from. It's so easy to get ahead of ourselves instead of being present in the moment. And part of being present in the moment is being in gratitude. I spend time in gratitude when I wake up in the morning and before I go to bed at night. And during those times in gratitude, I used to write a gratitude journal. And I recommend a gratitude journal for anyone who's struggling, going through anything, has highs and low moments, because that gratitude journal can be great reading material when you're having a low moment. And when I was really going through things, I would write the 5 things I was grateful for that day every day. And it would be the first thing I read the next morning to get me motivated to go and have those 5 more experiences that I was grateful for. Now I just kind of replay things in my head. I lay in bed at night and I think about a moment. Maybe it was a phone call. Maybe it was a business call. But then we got off on a personal conversation. I learned something about somebody that I really connected with. Or we had a good laugh. Or something silly happened. Or I saw a friend. Those are those things that I'm thinking of at night and replaying in the morning. In the morning, I'm also just gratitude that I'm waking up, that I'm safe, that I have food, that I have the basics. So it's easy again to think about all the things we want and that we don't have, and to see TV and to see people and look at Instagram and see all. But taking inventory of what you do have, going back to the minimalist, thinking about those things, those become shifts in your mindset that make you think about everything that remains being the only things that matter. So stay in the mindset of gratitude and everything is possible. For all of you that had to just listen to me ramble on for an hour, I appreciate you. I'm super excited to be starting this summer. Early May, but it's because my birthday is in May. I always think it's summer. So we're starting this early. We're starting it this week. So today, May 1st, you get this regular episode. You're all listening platforms. Then we do our premiere Friday, regular way, like in the chat. The following week, next Wednesday, instead of Lisa Ann Experience, you're going to have Tori Black's episode of Lisa Ann's Backstage Combos. And now Backstage Combos is going to be the every other week podcast, and it's going to replace the every other Wednesdays where you're missing this podcast. Just wanted to streamline things for myself, for you, for us, and make sure we're ready to go out there and touch a lot of grass this summer. I will be hanging out with everyone at Harbor this Saturday, May 4th, to celebrate my 52nd birthday, which is next Thursday, May 9th. I'm really excited to be spending time with my friends, to be seeing everybody and be nesting in this little place with all of you. I cannot wait for the Lisa Ann Experience live episodes to start and for you all to be a part of my podcast. All you have to do is subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann. Follow me on all social media. If you want to know more, you can learn all about me on my books. You can get them personally autographed from my store at Shop Lisa Ann. You can get them autographed from fansutopia.com, or you can just get them plain from Amazon. You can also get my audiobooks, which are in my voice, which is awesome. And yes, for many of you, I add an additional 8x10 to my store, Shop Lisa Ann. So check out the collections that I'm adding there, because so many of you have asked for new photos personally autographed from me. And I decided I would get back in that game since the requests were more than I realized they would be. So I appreciate all of you for supporting me. Subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. That really helps us in the podcast space, and adapt your schedule accordingly. I will make sure that I remind you multiple times of when and where we will be, and I look forward to all of it. Thank you so much for joining me for an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.